Bible tonight, I want you to turn to John chapter number 14, John chapter 14, and we are going to, this morning, I announced the title of tonight's sermon. It's called Heart Troubles, Heart Troubles. John chapter 14, once you arrive there, find verse number 1, and then if you would stand with me, John chapter 14, we're going to go to verse number 1, John 14, verse number 1. Praise the Lord, we had an adult lady saved today, and it was a wonderful, wonderful morning. John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And let's pray. Spirit of God, still us and unify us. May we put aside all the cares of the world. Let's not worry about what we're doing after church or what we're doing tomorrow. But God, may we fasten our attention on the sermon. You brought us here tonight to change us with the Word of God. I pray that you'll accomplish that very thing, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. John chapter 14, these verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, and other passages from John 14, have been used to comfort people's hearts over and over again. If you've been to many funerals preached by a Baptist preacher, you'll often find that funeral services will often use John chapter 14. If you've ever been to a graveside service, many times they'll use John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus teaches us some wonderful truths to keep our hearts from being troubled. If you are listening to the scripture, and again, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He is trying to help us not to have a troubled our heart, or for our hearts not to be troubled. My mother-in-law passed away some years ago, but before she did, she had a bout of difficult issues with her health. She had two or three heart attacks. There was at one point when her life was in danger. She was in intensive care for about 5 weeks. Now, she was a diabetic. Now, I don't expect you to understand certain medical issues, but a diabetic can have what they call, I think they call them silent heart attacks. That's where they don't necessarily feel pain, but there is an attack that's taking place on the heart. It may not cause them to fall over in anguish and pain, but they actually have a heart attack, and sometimes they don't even know that they have. There are people that, especially diabetic, could have this silent heart attack not even knowing that they had it. Now, others indeed know. That's a unique thing, a heart issue, but they didn't even know they had a heart issue. I wonder how many Christians have heart issues, but they don't even know that they have a heart issue. Heart troubles come to people of all ages. I know a little boy that was born with a hole in his heart. He was an infant, and from the very first day he drew a breath, he had issues with his heart. Children can have heart issues. Not long ago, I was reading, and it was a hot, hot summer, and the temperatures were very, very high in the 90s, near 100 degrees, and a 17-year-old boy that was at football practice fell over dead from a heart attack. Now, you wouldn't expect that a 17-year-old specimen of athleticism would have a problem like that, but you've all heard of it. You've heard of a teenager that you would think was in their physical prime. They can have heart issues too. So an infant could have a heart issue. A young adult, a teenager, could have a heart issue. I have a friend who pastors about 3 hours from here. By the time he was in his 30s, he had already had three or four heart attacks. You say, well, heart issues are just for old people. That is not true. That is not true at all. Old and young alike can have heart troubles. Men and women both can have heart troubles. You know, heart troubles do not, you can have a heart issue if you're educated or uneducated. If you're young or old, you can have heart issues. Just like the physical organ called the heart, and it can be troubled, our unseen heart can be troubled. Sometimes when God uses the word heart in the Bible, He means the thing that pumps our blood, the physical organ. Other times He's talking about the seat of our emotions, it's almost our emotional computer, the emotional headquarters. So when you hear God speak of the heart, there are times when He's talking about this thing that pumps blood, that's an organ that's inside your chest. But there are other times He is talking about your emotions and your feeling sensor within you. And He's talking about something that is more attitude and spiritual. The Bible says in Luke 21:26, it says that it is talking about the time of the Lord's appearing, that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. Now you say, what's that talking about? It could be talking about both. I think that there could be some people that at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, there might be some lost people who will fall over dead because they realize the mess they've gotten themselves into. But I am dead sure that when Jesus comes back, there will be an emotional stir of people. But the Bible talks about our heart. In the medical field, there are different kinds of doctors, and there are some people that are surgeons or they are specialists. There are people who are heart specialists. When I lived in northwest Indiana, there was a man that I knew, and we were acquaintances. We weren't real good friends, but he knew me, and I knew him, and we went to the same church. And he did open-heart surgery. His name was Dr. Garagos, and he was known all over that area for doing open-heart surgeries. He was very, very good at it. He knew what he was doing when it came to cutting someone's chest open and working on their heart. He'd been to school. He'd worked on a lot of hearts. Now, I, by no stretch of imagination, think that I'm a specialist, but I do want you to know, I do heart surgery too. I don't do surgery on the physical organ of the heart. I try to do surgery with the spiritual in mind. These are my gloves. I'm going to be a heart doctor for just a little while. I'm going to call myself Dr. Owens. Brother Steed, I'm going to call you Dr. Doolittle. Look at that. I feel like a doctor now. Well, I got to put these in my ears. I thought, oh no, I'm dead. I can't work on your physical heart, but one of my jobs as a pastor is to help your spiritual heart. The Bible is my medical guide. The church is the hospital. Those buses and vehicles out there are the ambulances that transfer the patients in. I have an office at home, and I use a room here at the church from time to time as an office where I meet with people. That's the prep room. This auditorium is an operating room. My deacons are my nurses. You are the patients. And you will receive my bill after tonight's surgery. The Holy Spirit tends to be our x-ray machine. The sermon in the Word of God is the scalpel. Jesus said in John 14:1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." God doesn't want your heart troubled all the time. Now, we're going to face troubles. He wouldn't have spoken to us about this if He didn't expect that you and I were going to face some troubles. If we have heart troubles, and we have them as a result of a variety of things, I think disappointments in life bring heart troubles, where we struggle with our emotions and we struggle with our heart. I think disappointments in people, and folks, people are going to disappoint you. Let me make you a promise. I'll disappoint you and you'll disappoint me, but Jesus will never disappoint any of us. You need to, though we will work at trusting one another and loving one another, you need to always keep your eyes on Jesus, because He will not let you down. But we have disappointments in life, and we have disappointments in people, and we have disappointments in ourselves. We have disappointments in our past. We're disappointed in ourselves with our sin. And might I say those things, let not your heart be troubled. They can affect your heart. I say, as your doctor, what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you have a troubled heart tonight? Maybe your heart trouble is known by everybody. Maybe yours is a silent heart attack. Like my mother-in-law, you know, again, there are people that will walk into this building and they'll smile. And you'll look at them and say, oh, I just wish my life was as pleasant as hers. Well, sometimes you just don't realize what the happiest person in the church is going through. You look at someone and say, I wish my life was like his. And I wish I had such a happy way like that person. I've got news for you. Just because someone has a smile on their face does not mean that they are not having heart challenges. So, everybody at one time or another has heart troubles. Heart pains that come in our marriages and heart pains that come with our children or with our parents. Those heart issues that come as a part of our health and with our finances or at work. Tonight, I'm going to be a heart specialist for a little while. I'm going to be Dr. Owens, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church heart surgeon. I can help you. Now, I can use this medical guide and I can show you something. First of all, may I say, remember, you're not the only one that's having heart troubles. In John 14:1, when it said, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. May I remind you, that is Jesus talking, and he is going to be crucified the next day. Now, here's somebody that's going to be crucified, massacred, torn to shreds the next day, and he knew it. And he was remembering other people with heart issues. Jesus kept his heart from becoming troubled. And let me tell you one of the ways he did. I think Jesus was facing some pretty heavy stuff the day before the crucifixion. But you know what he was busy doing while he was facing pressure with his heart? He was calming other people. I'm going to make you a guarantee. If you're going through a heart trouble, one of the best things you could do is find other people that are having heart troubles and see if you can help them. Jesus kept his heart from becoming sinfully troubled by helping others with their heart troubles. Jesus knew that he would be going to Calvary. Jesus knew what he would be facing. He was going to face some pretty heavy pressure on his own heart. But he turns to everybody else and said, now I'm going to be leaving, but y'all are going to be okay. And I'm going to get you through this. Some of you will end up on spiritual life support because you spend all your time worried about your heart. Could I recommend some of you get your eyes off you? Did you know you worrying about you will not take away your heart issue? Jesus comforted others, and he, in this case, is the one that needed the most comforting. Let's learn from him. 24 hours before crucifixion, he's going around stilling everybody's heart. He's going around taking care of everybody else. Sometimes I think we spend way too much time worried about our heart, or if I may, our feelings. My feelings, how I feel, how that affects me, 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 me. And again, may I remind all of us about the Christian life. The Christian life is not all about me. The Christian life is about others. Find someone who has maybe suffered a spiritual heart attack and help keep them alive rather than worrying about yourself all the time. Get your eyes off of your heartache and onto someone else's heartache. Boy, you don't have to go far in life to find people that have heart issues. And I'm not talking about evil, sinful, nasty hearts, although that can bring some issues in your life. I'm talking about there are people in this room that you know that are facing major challenges in life that have some burdens and some heartaches. But may I recommend that you are very careful not to look at your problems, your emotional problems, just all the time. Don't look at yours. I promise you, you are constantly looking at all of your problems, you are going to be a mess. I mean the average person that's like this all the time. Oh, this is happening to me, and this is happening to me. Oh, and this is happening, and this is happening. Well, why don't you stop worrying about all those things and get your eyes off of you? See, you say, well, you're not having compassion on me. Oh, yes, I am. I'm trying to help you not to have a nervous breakdown. Now, you're going to have a nervous breakdown if all you do is look at all the negatives that are coming to you. Get your eyes off of you. I've dealt with people that had nervous breakdowns. This is what it's like toward the end. Oh, I've got to deal with this. And this is happening. And this is the finances. And this thing with my son. And this thing with my daughter. And oh, my health. And oh, my car. And me. And really, I want to go. Stop staring at you! We live in a vain society anyway. We would spend most of our time in front of a mirror. How's it going to affect me? What's good for me? What can I get? What can I get? A self-centered society are taking more drugs than ever to control their emotions. There are more heart attacks because of stress. There are more issues in relationships because they're just all bottled up with frustrations and anger and revenge. Because we're so self-centered. As your doctor, I'm listening to your heart, and I think it may be a little self-centered. Jesus Christ was about to die on the cross of Calvary. He was about to be beaten to a pulp, humiliated, stripped in front of mankind. And you know what he said? Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, what in the world is a guy that's going to take the beating doing, having to calm everybody else down? But I believe it was a way that he stayed spiritually strong. I mean, if you were going to be crucified tomorrow and that's all you thought about, you would have a rotten night. But you know, if you were going to be crucified tomorrow and you decided, you know what, I'm going to help some people. I am not going to spend all my time thinking about the inevitable. I am going to help some people. That'll help me get my mind off of my burden. By the way, it'll also help me be a good Christian because good Christians help other people. So, remember, you're not the only one that might be having heart troubles. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, he then said this, for heart troubles, you believe, it says, ye believe in God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. What do? If you have heart problems, if you have some emotional setbacks, well, you just keep your belief in God. Don't miss that. You believe in God. This is an imperative statement. He is saying, if you don't want your heart to be troubled, believe in God. Folks, when you're facing hardship, don't suddenly become an attitude atheist or an atheist in attitude. Somehow we can face an issue and then we just forget all about the existence of God and everything that we've learned about how to behave ourselves. And it's almost as if there is no God and it's no holds barred, every man for himself. I'm just trying to tell you, I'll guarantee you, atheists have troubled hearts. Yes, sir. I've never seen an atheist happy at a funeral. I've never seen an atheist happy when they're facing death at the hospital, ever. I've never seen an atheist that's about to draw their last breath saying, I'm so glad I lived my life the way I did. It's been so fulfilling and so rewarding, and I can't wait to close my eyes in death. I've watched many a Christian say, I'm so glad I serve God. I am so happy with the life that God has allowed me to live. Hey, as your heart doctor, let me tell you something. If your heart's facing pressure, keep your eyes on God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. God is alive and God is well. God is not like beer belly Buddha. God is alive. God is not like Muhammad. God is alive. God has not forgotten you. God is the creator of all things. You did not evolve from a monkey. You came from the creation of Almighty God, and He is really there. And if you don't want your heart to be troubled, you need to remember that this thing of God is not a fairy tale. It's real. And God said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Folks, you and I as Christians during the storms of life should panic far less than the world. Yes, sir. We should panic far less than the world. Hey, and you're human and I'm human. And there are going to be things come upon us, and we're not going to always handle them just right. But we shouldn't consistently handle them just wrong. You got to shake yourself and get a hold of yourself soon in the game rather than late in the game. As your doctor, may I say to you, if you're facing emotional turmoil, if all you do is look at everything you're going through and you've drawn a little circle around yourself and it's all about you, you're not helping yourself. As a doctor, I'm going to tell you, you get your eyes off yourself and help somebody else. And number two, may I say, don't you forget, there is a God. Ye believe in God. Then he said this in John 14:1. He said, believe also in me. Who was that? That was Jesus. If you're here tonight, you never trusted Jesus as your Savior, could I recommend that you believe that there's a God? But may I also say, just believing in God's not going to be enough to calm your heart down. You're going to need to believe in Jesus. Now, the fullest belief in Jesus Christ is to have received Him as your Savior. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend that you get born again, that you get saved. Hey, I would be troubled in heart too if all I knew I had to look forward to is to die and go to hell. So you want heart trouble? Just don't have heaven as your future. That'll give you heart trouble. Did you know that for the lost, this life is the best thing they're ever going to have? If you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you died tonight and you don't know you'd go to heaven, go ahead and enjoy this life because this is the best you get. But for the Christian, I've got good news for you. This life is the worst we're ever going to face. Amen. It's all uphill from here. Amen. The lost, enjoy your life. Live it up, buddy, because hell is not going to be a picnic. It's going to be the worst thing. It's worse than what you can imagine. But every Christian in here, you just keep your chin up because what you're going through now is the worst thing you're ever going to face. When we get to heaven, it's all going... Won't it be wonderful there? Amen. All His glories to share. For the saved, this life is the worst we're ever going to face. I don't understand how lost people face the heartaches of life anyway. Well, that's why there's all the drugs and all the alcohol and all the things. And I'm talking repetitively. They're trying to escape. They're trying to escape. But I don't understand. I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee the life that I live, the heartaches that I have faced, if I had gone through those heartaches without Jesus and the Bible and God's people, I do not know how I would have made it. I am so glad that I'm a Christian and I have something that can still my heart, and Jesus Christ is one of those that can do it. Now, so for heart struggles, can I recommend that you do what Jesus did? He was facing heavy, heavy, heavy burden. But what did he do? He tried to help others. Then he said, you believe in God. You keep a belief that there is a God in heaven. Then you make sure you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, and if you have, you let Jesus be your brother and you let Him help you through this. Number four, then it said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I tell you something that will help you with heart struggles? Believe in heaven. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Believe in heaven. Help other people to believe these things. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus comes along, He said, I want to calm you all down. I know you're having some heart issues. He took the stethoscope of His ability to see everything and know everything. He held it up to the heart of the human race and He said, keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on Jesus, and keep your eyes on the fact that there is a place called heaven. Hey, let me encourage your heart. You know, in heaven, things get a whole lot better. Mrs. Croom, in heaven, your body that was hurt and damaged in that automobile accident, you'll never face another ache or pain again from it. Never. It'll be gone. We get our heart troubles in this life. One thing that'll help you, just keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on heaven. Brother Robert, I think many years ago you had a heart attack. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know, but I would think a man like that, those little aches and pains that could take place in the chest when you have them after a surgery, I'm sure there's always that wonder, what does this one mean? What does that mean to me? And those fears, and they're real, but let me tell you something. One of these days you're going to step over into glory. You'll never feel an ache or a pain. You'll never have that little concern about what you felt in your chest again, because you will be healed and never again will you have that fear. I think of, I have watched a major portion of my wife's family pass away. Her dad passed away when she was 16. Many years later, her mom passed away. I watched a brother and sister pass away within about 6 months of each other, 3 months of each other, then another pass away. And I just watched a handful of people pass away. And it is heavy when you have that many people pass away consecutively one after another. But honey, let me make you a guarantee. One of these days you're going to get to heaven. You'll never have to worry about facing the death of a loved one again. You'll never have to worry about it. It'll be gone. For heart troubles, believe in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. There are people in here. You have loved ones that are in terrible circumstances, terrible situations. I know somebody in this room that has a relative. I think it's a cousin that is locked away because they made some very bad decisions in life. And they hurt for them. And what a pain and what a heartache that someone that would be locked away. They did wrong and they've been punished for it. But that doesn't mean somebody shouldn't love them. That doesn't mean somebody should not care about them. But let me make you a promise. If you have a friend or a relative that's been through something like that, one of these days we're going to get to heaven and everybody's free there and nobody's going to make the kind of mistake that will cause them to be punished like that. There's a place called heaven. There are people in this room. You face some pretty big difficulties and challenges financially. You're trying to figure it out. And you'll have to. So you know, God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. But I will tell you this, one of these days we're going to get to heaven, and you've heard it over and over again, but the streets there are made of gold, and the gates of heaven are made of pearl, and when we get there, there's not going to be any need. You're never going to face a need again, and God is going to take care of all of that. There are people in this room, you've had cancer, and it went away, and you were so grateful. You've seen a victory, but every time you go in for that checkup, you ask yourself, what are they going to find? Is it back? Am I going to face it again? Well, let me say to you, there's coming a day when we'll get to heaven and the C word, the cancer word, will never be spoken again. You'll never, ever have to worry about it. There are people in here, you're lonely. You have spouses that have passed, or you have families that you're very distant from because the way they live and the way they are. And it's scary to you sometimes. Well, let me make you a guarantee. There is a real place called heaven, and one of these days we'll get to that place called heaven, and we won't be lonely anymore, and we won't feel pain anymore, and we won't be scared anymore, and we won't be hurt anymore, nor will we hurt anyone anymore. Jesus was about to die on the cross of Calvary, and he came along and he said, I know your hearts are going to be troubled. And he, right off the bat, to get his eyes off of his burden, went to help somebody else. Then he said, believe in God. There is a God, and God's in charge, and he knows what he's doing. Then he said, and believe in me also. Believe in Jesus Christ. Make sure you've trusted him as Savior and realize he lives within you. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, believe in God, believe in Jesus, and believe in heaven. And then he said this. He said, for I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. Amen. Now there's some more encouragement. He said, if you want something to help your heart problems, believe in God, believe in Jesus. He said, believe in heaven, and believe, I'm coming back to get you. He said, that'll help you. We call it the rapture. The word rapture, someone said to me one day, said, well, the word rapture is not even used in the Bible. I said, well, knucklehead, the word Bible is not even used in the Bible, but you just used it to tell me that the word rapture was not in there. The word rapture is a Greek word, a rapio. It means a snatching away, but it just means Jesus is coming again and he's going to take us out of this life. That can calm you down a little bit too. You say, oh, what is this world coming to? Are you really asking that question? Don't we already know what this world is coming to? Don't we already know that they don't like Jesus and they don't like God? They're going to mess this thing up so bad that he's going to say, we're going to have to start this mess over again. And he's going to rapture the Christians out of it. He'll fix it all up, and the ones that don't want him are going to have what they want. They're going to go to a godless hell. But Jesus is coming again, and your financial troubles will be over with, and your health problems, and the family problems, and the fears, and all of that. It'll go away. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, let me put my stethoscope up to your spiritual heart. I can help you with that troubling that you have in your heart. First of all, help other people like I am. He said, believe in God. believe in Jesus, believe in heaven, know I'm coming again. And then he said this. He said that where I am, there you may be also. Do you know that not only are we someday going to be with him in heaven, but he made sure that he is with us now on earth. What is that? He said, if all this doesn't calm you down, he said, I'm right here with you. I'm with you. When you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Did you know he didn't move in for a moment and then move out? The Bible teaches he is sealed there until the day of redemption. He is now saying, if you want to be calmed down, stop and realize I'm right here. I'm right here. His presence can comfort us. You've probably heard this story, but it's worth telling again. A person passed away and they went to heaven. And God chose to show them their life. They had gone to the beach and they were taking a walk along the sand and all you could see was footprints. This person is looking at the beach and there's one set of footprints walking along. And the person said to Jesus, said, what is that? And Jesus said, that's you before you got saved. You are all alone. Those are your lonely footsteps. Then suddenly, there were two sets of footprints. And the person said, well, what's that? Said, that's when you got saved. Those are my footprints and your footprints. And we were together. And then all of a sudden, it went back to one set of footprints. And the person said, I'm alone again. Look, it's just my footprints. What happened? Jesus said, oh, my child, you're not alone. There's one set of footprints. Those are mine. See, life got tough. So I picked you up and carried you. Now, let me say to everybody here, when life gets tough, he's with you now. If we're not careful, we'll say, one of these days I can't wait to get to heaven where God can really be there to help me. He's really here to help you right now. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you got saved, he moved in and he was sealed in your heart and he is there until the day of redemption. Oh, it'll be special when we get to heaven and we'll be there and we'll get to physically see him, but you might not be able to physically see him right now. Hey, just like you can have a silent heart attack, the presence of Jesus Christ might not be visual to you, but he's here in your heart. You say, I'm having heart problems. Let's take the spiritual stethoscope and see if we can figure out what to do. Well, first of all, don't spend all your time looking at yourself. Help somebody. Secondly, keep your eyes on God. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. What else? Oh, make sure you believe in Jesus and stay close to him. Believe in heaven. Believe he's coming again. And no, he is ever present and available for you. Mrs. Owens, I think, sings a song called Heaven, or Jesus is Only a Prayer Away. The truth is, he's really even closer than that. If you're a Christian, he's with you. Sometimes I think people have heart issues and they don't even know it. But there are many people that have heart issues and other people don't know it. Make sure that your heart's not troubled. And that's what Jesus' desire was. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. From the heart doctor, keep your heart healthy. Let these things keep you from being troubled. Let's bow our heads. Oops, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, do you need the Savior? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Are you born again? Really, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, listen to this question. If you died tonight, do you know you would go to heaven, or would you say, I don't know? Pray for me, preacher. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I'd like to, but I don't know that. Nobody's watching. Is there somebody here that would raise your hand and say, I don't know if I died tonight I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right at this moment? Good, I see that hand. I see that hand. You may put your hands down. If you're not saved, in a moment we're going to have an altar call, not to embarrass you, but if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, when we have this altar call, just leave your seat. You come toward the front, and when you do, I'll signal someone. They'll take a moment. They won't embarrass you, but they'll show you how to be born again. That will help a lot of your heart troubles, just knowing you have Jesus in your heart and you're on your way to heaven. So don't be shy. There's more than one. You just begin to step out when the altar call starts, and you start your way this way, and I'll have some lady soul winners ready to help you, I promise you. Some of you that know you're saved, who here tonight would say, oh, I see it. I see what God was trying to do for me in the Scripture, and He indeed has spoken to my heart. I don't want my heart troubled. I'll let these things help my heart so I don't have a troubled heart. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart in the sermon? I see how that could help me. I see how these things could be a blessing. You may put your hands down. Do you need the altar? I hope that there are Christians tonight that would take a moment at the altar and say, Lord, help me. I need this, Lord. I do have some heartaches and some struggles in my life, and I need you to help me with my troubled heart. You come and you use the altar. There are people already at the altar. Let's start the piano playing. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you may stand. You come. If you're not saved, just come. Don't be shy about it. Come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Let's use the altar. Come, Christian, as close to the front as you can and pray. What are your struggles? What are your heartaches? What's troubling you? Well, believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Believe in heaven. Believe Jesus is coming again. Believe in the presence of Jesus Christ then and now. And one of the most practical things you can do beyond those things is don't spend all your time on your heartache. There's some of you, you're troubled, you struggle. Go visit Mary Ross, who had a stroke, who paralyzed half of her body. Find somebody that has a heartache. Try to help them with it. I am glad Jesus set such an awesome example. He's about to be crucified. And instead of spending the night fretting, thinking about himself, worrying about himself, attending to himself, he's teaching us how we can take care of our burdens. Let not your heart be troubled. You take your time. I said this earlier in the sermon. Let me say it again during this altar call. You and I as Christians should panic far less than the lost. We should not be the ones that get out of sorts all the time about everything. You should not constantly be apologizing because you've allowed your emotions to get out of control. And I love you and I am your friend. I'm not trying to be mean to you. But as Christians, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, we have plenty going for us. We do have the belief in God. We do have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We do have the Holy Spirit. We do have heaven as our future. We do have the presence of Jesus Christ. All those things are to calm us and strengthen us and keep us from having spiritual heart attacks. Physical heart attack is when that heart just erupts. And it behaves erratically. Now, when a Christian has a spiritual heart attack, what is that? It's an emotional eruption. It's when you behave erratically with revenge and hatred and meanness and loudness and out of control, unpredictable. The heart, at a heart attack, it loses its rhythm. And some of you, when you're acting that way spiritually, you've lost your spiritual rhythm and you're giving yourself. When God says, let not your heart be troubled, He's talking about your spiritual emotions. Keep those emotions properly under control, and God's given you some ways to do it. And thank you. You can all remain standing if you will.